So I have praise too. My granddaughter Naomi is going to be baptized here on Sunday. Naomi is now 6. She received Jesus at 3, same age as Chris, and she does not doubt it. I questioned my daughter today. I said, I want to make sure before we do this. I want to make sure that she really understands. She said, yeah, she's already showing evidences of having a desire to please the Lord. Very strong interest in the thing, spiritual things. That's pretty good for a 6-year-old. But anyway, I'm excited about that. One, because they're just coming up here. So they actually have to, unfortunately, they have to come a day early. So I'm really disappointed they have to come up here a day early. But anyway, Austin is, now this is unfortunate. He's doing extremely well with his business. So now he has a business in landscaping here and in the Nashville area. And they're both doing very well. And I was hoping they would fail down there so it could bring them back up here. But I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, they're going to be here for a week, and looking forward to having them here. And then my sister Donna, who will turn 80 next month, had surgery on her neck. They put in a cadaver bone between the 4th and 5th vertebrae, which, you know, for most people, maybe not that big of a deal. But when you're that age, it starts to be a big deal. But she did well. And she is actually went home today and doing pretty well, so that was good news too. So grateful for that. Now I'm gonna, this ear is a little bit not hearing well tonight because I just don't take care of it like I should. So anyway, can you hear me okay? Yeah. Do you want me to yell and shout? No, you don't want me to do that? I just have to keep Cassie awake. That's my only. So anyway. Bearing Precious Seed, as Brother Ferris mentioned, really, really good organization. And when I was in college, I traveled with a singing group, and we had actually been there. And we helped them one day with putting Bibles together, whatever it was. And I've thought, actually a couple years ago, I thought about seeing, because they do this. They ask churches to volunteer, and you help them put Bibles and New Testaments and Gospels of John's books, Romans together. Would you guys be interested in doing something like that if we brought them in and just took a day to help them do that? And we don't hear from them a whole lot. I think they send out quarterly newsletters. And but anyway, it's a really, really profitable ministry. We're going to take our Bibles again tonight and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think this is my third Wednesday night on looking at the subject of, are you a good ambassador? I heard someone say not too long ago, sometimes we can just kind of beat a subject to death. And I thought about that, and I thought about the fact that this is my third or fourth Wednesday night in this, and that is, I'm very conscious about those kind of things. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I'm very conscious to people's criticisms. I think we all are conscious when people say things that are not necessarily to our pleasing. So I thought to myself, maybe I'm beating this horse to death kind of thing. But the reality is, when you look at chapter 5, as we began several weeks ago, verse 17, and really into chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is dealing with our ambassadorship. And he says, this is the way you have a good ambassadorship. And he goes through many, many, many details. And I'm thinking to myself, they don't want to sit here and listen to all these details. And I thought, well, wait a minute. That's what the Holy Spirit had him do. So we're going through details. And I personally don't find it as boring. I think it's helpful to me personally. As I've gone through this, it's helpful to me personally. And I hope the same is true for you. Because if you love Jesus Christ and you want to see your family saved, you want to see your neighbors saved, if you want to see people in the community, maybe a total stranger saved, and as we heard tonight, people that sometimes are hostile to the gospel, and quite honestly, we always hear this story. People who have been hostile to the gospel for years, the Holy Spirit can break and penetrate their heart and can save them because we've seen it happen. So I've mentioned this before, the very first name, Michael Goggin, on our spiritual list. I made a comment here one night. I said, he's been on here since I took over the pastorate here 22 years ago. And someone came up to me after and said, I know that guy. Please don't take him off the list. So sometimes we all get discouraged in trying to minister to an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a neighbor. And those things can trouble us and can discourage us. And I'm probably the biggest person guilty of succumbing sometimes to discouragement. But we can't afford to do that when it comes to people that are not saved. Just keep praying. And there are times you can't say a word. There's nothing you can say. They will not allow it. But the Holy Spirit can speak to them. So just keep praying. And I appreciate you taking those prayer lists and taking them home and praying over them. And a lot of people, you don't even know who they are. And sometimes that can be a little bit strange. I'm praying for this person. I don't even know who they are. Don't know what they look like until you meet them. And I've had that experience happen too. Like, I'm praying for this person, and all of a sudden I get to meet them, and it's like, oh, this is a real person. You know. So anyway, keep praying. And I appreciate you doing that. So again, we began to look at this thought of being an ambassador for Christ. And I'm not going to go back and recap tonight, only to say that we're told in chapter 5 that we have been called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to share the gospel message with people. We are to represent our King and represent Him well and do exactly what He wants us to do. As we saw in verse 1 of chapter 6 and verse 3, we then, as workers together with Him, with Christ, with our King, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I'm not skipping over verse 2 like it is of no value. It's tremendous value, because He tells us, by the way, if you don't know Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today's accepted time, not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. Matter of fact, people tell me, well, I'll get to it. I'll do it someday. Remember this, tomorrow never comes. Never comes. It's today that He says to deal with that. So again, He says, though, for you as an ambassador, we need to make sure that we have a good ambassadorship, that we represent Him well. And He mentions in verse 4 this phrase, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers, as the servants of Christ. We're to prove ourselves. And so we have gone through several of these, and tonight we're going to pick up in verse 6. Again, not going over the things we've already gone over, but beginning in verse 6, we are to approve ourselves in pureness. I'm not to do anything that's going to cause offense where the ministry can be blamed. And in part, you could say, well, he must be talking about the ministry of a pastor, or the ministry of someone who is, you know, officially called into ministry. Well, no, this is my personal ministry outside this pulpit. In your personal ministry, he said, I don't want your ministry to be blamed. I don't want to be blamed. You're, if you will, the servant of Christ attending to His desires, and He desires, one, that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Secondly, He desires that His servants, you and me, as ambassadors, are constantly looking for opportunities to tell others of what Jesus Christ can do for them. And do it exactly the way He wants it done. Not the way I want it done, not the way you want it done, the way He wants it done. We are His ambassadors. So He said, part of being a good ambassador is making sure that you approve yourself in pureness. In pureness. And we don't need a definition of the word pureness, purity. We understand it. God doesn't want you to be defiled. He doesn't want you to be defiled with the world. He wants you to be as much as is possible blameless in the eyes of others. Not just among your brethren here in the church, but outside these walls, among the lost. He wants us to be blameless. And that doesn't always happen. I'll never forget when I was notified by an employee at the FBI of a person who used to attend this church years ago. They are employed with the FBI too. They found out they went to this church, and they let us know very quickly that this person, whatever they were at like at church, they certainly were not very Christian-like in their work for the FBI. And that troubled me as a pastor when I hear those things. years ago when I was first in ministry down in Atlanta. We had a long-term deacon. He was very heavily relied upon because not only was he in that spiritual office, but he was an extremely good handyman. He was like a Dave Noss, a Greg Zork, you know, these guys, you know, like Tom, that can do just about anything. So he was heavily relied upon, only to find out his wife had about all she could take, and she finally came to the pastor and said, my husband is a womanizer. He has affairs. He's abusive to me. And he had been in that office for a long time. And you know what? You hear those things about at least so-called Christians, and it taints Christianity.
Amen.
It taints it. And so he said, if you really want to approve yourself as my ambassador, I mean, you are taking my personal message and delivering it to others. Well, please make sure that there's purity in your life. The concluding statement of Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, that little book, the last part of verse 23 says this, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. One of the things we are told is that we have robes of righteousness. That's the way God sees us, dressed in those robes of righteousness. But when we cuddle up to the world stains us. And he said, I don't want your garments spotted by the world. I want you to be different. I don't want you to be like everybody else. Unfortunately, here in the last 2 weeks, a man I have admired for years. In fact, on a vacation, when my children were still young, we purposely went to this man's church because he has been, through the years, a powerful preacher. I thoroughly enjoyed being in that church. Great music ministry, just great preaching. And a few weeks ago, I received a text on my phone from my daughter, Katie. Of course, with a newborn, she's up most of the night, her Aunt Austin, just kind of taking shifts with the newborn. And I got a text at 3:23 in the morning. And she said, I can't believe this. I'm so disappointed. And she said, under this man's ministry, I got assurance of my salvation. Under this man's ministry, he helped me so much. She said, I just can't believe it. So when I first saw it, it's like, don't believe everything you see on social media. Don't necessarily believe it. So I started investigating myself, and within a few hours, it had already come out where he had confessed to some staff members at the church. He was already placed under arrest by police officials, that the thing that was said was true, and how damaging that is to the cause of Christ.
That's right.
God expects me, and he expects you, to live with purity, pureness in our life, not allowing our garment, so to speak, to be spotted by the things of this world, by the flesh, as the Word of God refers to it. We're to be different. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. He said in word, so talking about the things that come out of our mouth, in part, or also the Word of God. We're to be an example of the believers in this realm, our conversation, in other words, talking about our behavior. My mouth speaks and my behavior speaks too.
Yes.
And he said, I want you to be an example in both. I want you to be an example in charity. In charity. Charity used especially in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians about the relationship that we are to have toward Christ and toward other people. Now, I use it quite a bit in speaking about marriage with people, and the thought that charity means not only benevolence, but it means a love that gives without expectation of getting anything back. Now, this is the way that Christ wants us to love. And he said, I want you to be an example in that. I want you to love people even when they don't love you back. And I would like to say that never happens in the church, but you know, you probably had a situation. And for you, many of you have been saved for a long time. I'm sure that somewhere, whether here or some other church in the past, you were around someone that said they were saved and just treated you like dirt. It was never kind to you. What does God expect of you? Dish it back, brother. No. No, you love them, even though they'll never love you back. He said, this is the example of the believer. He said we're to be an example of the believer in spirit. What is that to mean? Well, it may carry different attitudes here, but I'm just focusing purely on sometimes my words and my countenance do not match my spirit. And sometimes, you know, a spirit bears witness with the spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But I think that's true in the human realm too, that sometimes spirit bears witness with another human spirit. And sometimes people can pick up that person saying all the right words, but there's something in it that tells me they despise me. They don't care for me. They are putting on a front. And we're warned about that in the New Testament, about putting on a front with people, not really being real with people. So I think in part that carries that attitude. And he says we're to be an example of the believer in faith. Not of the faith, but in faith. In other words, do people really see me, this ambassador, really trusting Christ? It's very hard, and God has had to beat this into me, so to speak. He really hasn't had to beat it into me, but the point being, I've been hard-headed to learn to really trust him in some areas. I'll say, even in the pulpit, I have faith in God. I love him and I trust him. And then turn around and go to people, man, I'm really worried about my finances. I'm really worried about this. I'm really worried about that. Oh, what kind of faith is that? What kind of trust is that? But notice the last thing he says. Now, you may not be in this passage, but in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, be an example of the believers in purity. We should be distinguished from the world. We should be distinguished from the world in our speech, in our actions, and even to some degree appearance. We should be distinguished from the world. And he said, you need to have an attitude of approving yourself in this realm of being pure, pureness. And then he goes on in this verse to say, we are to be approving ourselves as ambassadors by knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation or revealing in the knowledge of him. We find in the book of Hebrews, whether it's the Apostle Paul who wrote it or someone else, doesn't really matter. I think it's in chapter 5 where he said, you're still babies. And he's talking to a church. He's talking to believers. He said, you're still babies. You should not be on the milk anymore. You shouldn't be on the bottle. You should be eating meat. You need to grow up. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And when I look at this particular phrase, we're to be approved by knowledge, I think the attitude is, when we don't really have the knowledge of Christ and of his will for our lives and his standards that he expects his children to live by, we begin, even with sometimes good intentions, to justify things that do not meet his approval, that are not going to end up benefiting as an ambassador, someone who is needing me to show Christ to them. We'll deal with this later on. He talks about love, but I just mention this. I hear sometimes a parent say how much they love their child, and because they love their child, they're just going to be their child's friend. I could never have a stern word with my child because I love them too much, so we're just going to be friends. I would not suggest I would not suggest that anybody does that, but corporal punishment, you know. I just could never spank my child, even though the Bible more than advocates that be done. He does not advocate beating, but he does advocate the blueness of the wound through spanking, things like that. And yet I hear Christians tell me, no, I don't think it's right. And you can only conclude that because there is not a knowledge of this book. Amen. So sometimes we deal with lost people without a biblical, godly knowledge, And instead of honoring Christ, we're hurting his cause. So he said, I want you to prove yourself in this role, this ministry as an ambassador through knowledge. Again, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray that your love, I probably should have read this before I made that last comment. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Knowledge with judgment, approving things that are good and discarding things that are hurtful. That can only happen when we grow more and more in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're going to get good judgment. We all make judgments. I make judgments every day. I make a judgment, you know, what color shirt I'm going to put on. I make a judgment about whether I'm going to brush my teeth or not. I make a judgment about which way I'm going to go up to UHC when I have to visit somebody at the hospital. Am I going to go up 279 or am I going to cut through town? You know, all those things. As silly as that may sound, we make judgments constantly. He said, for your sake as an ambassador, you need to make good judgments that can only be found through getting to know the author of this book, getting his knowledge in you. Then he goes on to say, we are to prove ourselves by long suffering. Now I'm going to combine this, by long suffering, by kindness. I combine it because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think it's the fourth verse or maybe the fifth verse, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. It's a single thought. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity really isn't charity, or I'm sorry, long suffering, it really isn't long suffering if there's not kindness attached to it. It begins to become more like, yeah, I'll wait. There's an attitude, yeah, I'm being long suffering with you, pal. Okay. God says, no, that's not good enough. I want you to have long suffering with people with an attitude and a heart of kindness. We see people come to Christ, and in their infancy, they could be 44 years of age, but in their spiritual infancy, say things, do things that sometimes shock us and appall us. A couple years ago, when Evangelist Dave Young was here, I remember him telling us he led one of his neighbors to the Lord or something like that. And he said he had gone back home. I think he was in Florida at the time. He pastors out in Cape Girardeau, Missouri now. But anyway, when he was in Florida, he went back and preached, I think, in his home church. And this guy, neighbor, whatever he was, came up and said, that was one of a message. It wasn't heaven either. It was the other, you know, H-E-double-O hockey sticks or whatever it's called. I can't say it right, but Cassie, you can help me here. There you go. You're not Cassie. She was supposed to say. Anyway, all right. So he was a babe in Christ. And although you would be appalled if a man who had been saved for 20 years would have said that, people were a little bit patient with him. They were long-suffering with him. And they did it with kindness. And I'm sure somewhere along the line, somebody would pull him aside and say, hey, brother, you know what? We're glad you're excited about Christ, but you know that word is considered a vulgar word, curse word. So just consider that, something like that. But anyway, he said, I want you to prove yourselves with long suffering and kindness as well. Then he talks about approving ourselves by the Holy Ghost. And I look at that and I'm thinking to myself, What could he possibly mean by that? So this is where my mind is going in that regard. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians, to the second chapter. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul is again talking to the church at Corinth, writing to the church, and he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now notice this. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I think when Paul says you need to have a good ambassadorship, you need not to do anything that is going to cause your ambassadorship to cause offense and cause the ministry of the ambassadorship to be blamed, you need to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. We've gone through several soul winning courses here in this church. And we can become, and for many of us, we become somewhat polished in presenting the gospel to people. I can go out here to a total stranger. I know how to turn the conversation. I know the key things to say to kind of gain their trust and then a smooth line into presenting the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I think we need to be skilled in delivering the gospel to people. I'm not opposed to that. What happens to me is I depend on my own slickness, my own wisdom, my own winsome personality, which I know probably makes people want to laugh when I say that, but you understand what I'm saying. Paul said, I'm not coming in here like a big-time evangelist. You know, my name is in lights, and I'm drawing an arena, you know, with 30,000 people. And I've been in events like that. I've been in the Omni in Atlanta where thousands and thousands of people are there hearing the guy present God's word. And again, I'm not opposed to that. God gives men different gifts. George Whitfield drew tens of thousands. Jeff Vaughn draws ones of twos, you know, that kind of stuff. God gives everybody different gifts. But for whether it's a George Whitfield or Charles Spurgeon, or in the modern day, any pastor or evangelist that you can think of that really impresses you, you love their preaching ability. A lot of people, I love Scott Pauley. So do I. I like to listen to his podcast. But it's not our personal ability to deliver or our personalities.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost. And he said, you make sure your dependence is on the Holy Spirit, not on your own abilities. Because our personal abilities, so Brother Ferris, and I mean this, I don't say this to placate him, I mean this sincerely, I love to hear him preach. Quite frankly, I just have him preach all the time for me when he's around. I love to hear him preach. God's given him a great ability to deliver the word of God. But he'd be the first to tell you, it's not my ability or style, it's the Holy Spirit that has to do the work. And so Paul emphasizes this with these people. Please make sure that you are reliant on the Holy Spirit. Approve yourselves by the Holy Ghost. And he says, approve yourselves by love unfeigned. The term unfeigned means not hypocritical. You're not being hypocritical. It's genuine love for people. I read this to you out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, non-hypocritical love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And again, I just go back to what I said earlier about this aspect of love. Sometimes we can put on pretense with people. We can act like we love certain people and yet despise those people in our heart. And he tells us, look, you won't make a difference in people's life if you have a false or hypocritical attitude in love. And I'm going to say this, and know it can kind of, I don't want to say get me in trouble, but just be straightforward about it. We meet people all the time that are of different persuasions than we are when it comes to morality. I know without doubt, because this book does not change, that God still is opposed to homosexuality.
Yes.
God's word declares it to be an abomination, and I probably bring this up on Sunday as we go through this view of Christ being the Word. I've heard people say Jesus never said anything negative about homosexuality. Remember who Jesus is. He's the Word.
That's right.
From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, everything is his own words. And there's plenty of things he says that would tell us that that lifestyle is opposite of what God wants for people. That God does not want that to be part of people's lives, no more than he wants drug use or, you know, other addictions to be involved in people's lives. He doesn't want that in people's lives. So it can be very difficult. I use that example because sometimes in our preaching, we come down so hard on this sin, we come down hard on this sinner too. And I realize it's hard to separate the two. If I'm being honest with you, it's sometimes it's hard to separate the two. But I have to separate the two because I'm a sinner too. And my sin may not be the same, but all sin separates us from God. All sin is condemning. And just as somebody had mercy and grace with me and loved me to Christ, those same people involved in lifestyles that I may be very opposed to need that same consideration. I'm not saying we try to justify what they do. I'm saying that we don't act with a hypocritical response. I'm going to go there and I'm going to act like I love them. And as soon as I walk away from their presence, I'm going to turn to my friend and start using slurs against their lifestyle. And that's wicked. That's wicked. That should not be done. And he said, I want to make sure that you approve yourselves with a love unfeigned, a love that's not hypocritical, where you're not one thing this moment and something totally different, because those things get back to people. If I'm saying today, oh man, I really care about you. I'm glad you're here. Glad, you know, that you're part of our church family now and blah, 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 blah. And then when he walks out the door, I walk up to Brother Ferris. I really can't stand that guy, Dana guy. I just don't like him. You know, like that's hypocritical. That is love that is feigned hypocritical. And God says, I don't want that, nor can it be used for my purposes in making a difference in people's lives. I don't know if I should use that as an example or not, but anyway, I should have just used Daisy and Ashley there. That had been better. All right, let me look at one more tonight, and then we'll go ahead and close. You notice he says we're to approve ourselves by the word of truth. Beginning of verse 7, we're to approve ourselves by the word of truth. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So this phrase, the word of truth, I think is really talking about the word of God. Now, some people look at this as it is just simply meaning what it says, not necessarily referring to God's word necessarily, but referring to speaking truth to people. And I think both are things you ought to consider. This is the truth. This is the word of truth. Who expects out of me words of truth to other people? I need to be honest with people. Well, Pastor, what if I can't stand a person? Am I supposed to be honest with them and tell them I can't stand you? No, you can still be kind to people. But we need to speak truth. Because if we're not speaking truth, God cannot bless that. I expect of our ambassadors, I mentioned Mike Huckabee, our ambassador to Israel, and any ambassador, when they go into some official of another country representing our president, words of truth better be spoken.
Yes, sir.
You know, as a nation, we get a black eye many times because of things that we've historically done to undermine other nations. And that's just truth. Because we've turned from the Lord is why we do those things now. When that man or any other ambassador walks into an office, words of truth need to be uttered out of that mouth. Otherwise, there is no respect. There is no level of trust. And the same thing is true for us. We take the word of truth. We understand God says, I hate lying. I hate this. I don't want to be part of your life. I don't want you to be deceitful. I want you to be a man or a woman of truth. And believe me, when people get to know you, even if they're lost, they will come to respect your willingness to be truthful at all times. And so you can't be a good ambassador without that. I just have you look back at chapter 4 again of 2 Corinthians and look at verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the second verse. Here Paul says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Don't be dishonest. Don't use deceit. Be a person of truth.
Amen.
Why? So that you can commend the truth to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Truth will mean something special to them when they know you are a person of truth. I think that makes sense. He goes on with some really interesting thoughts, and we'll possibly conclude this next week. You say, that's a long list, Pastor. Well, maybe we should get busy on memorizing it so we know exactly what God says. This is how you can approve yourself as my ambassador, representing the greatest message that has ever come out of the lips of any human being, that Jesus saves, the good news of the gospel. So again, I would encourage you, and just in your own, just to go through this and give thought to these things and just ask yourself, are these things realities in my life? Am I really approving myself as a good ambassador of Jesus Christ? Do I have a good testimony before others? Can God really use this? Am I dependent on the Holy Spirit? Am I truthful? Am I showing genuine love, or am I hypocritical in the way I deal with people? So all these things I think are very important that we consider in this. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And it's pretty early. It's only 7:54, so I actually get an extra 6 minutes to preach, so I'll do overtime after this. But anyway, if you'd like to stay and pray for a few minutes, I encourage you to do that. Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being able to be here tonight. I know it's a transition week this week and next week, switching up to the Awana ministry, and lots and lots of people are out of town. And it's a good time to be out of town right now, just to rest up. But I thank you for those that are here tonight, and would ask that it would not be just a wasted effort to come out, but that there's some things that will be helpful to them in their personal walk. And Lord, I ask that you would use us through the rest of the week. Lord, help us to be pleasing to you. There's a number of things brought up tonight. Think about Kim tonight, the pain level. Lord, would you touch her and bring the removal of pain that she would desire, and that Mike would desire for her. And whatever's going on, would you give the doctors wisdom? Lord, I would ask that you would continue to help the people in Weston. We did quite a bit on Saturday, but it seemed so minimal for those people who are suffering so much. And Lord, whatever way you can use this church to be a help still in that area, Lord, show us what to do. I know we can't give every spare minute that we have to that, but Lord, show us what you want us to do as a church. Lord, would you just work, Lord, through our new youth pastor and his wife. Lord, he's sick today. I pray you bring healing to him, encourage him. Lord, help us to be a blessing to them, and help them to be a blessing to our teen ministry. All these things, Lord, and so many other things, we just present to you and what you do, a good work. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the men, just I mentioned this to you as you're leaving, the Iron Man Conference at Bible Baptist Temple. I think it starts at 7 on Friday night, and then on Saturday begins at 9 in the morning and goes till noon. They have dinner afterwards or lunch afterwards. No cost to it. But anyway, just remind you of that if you'd like to be part of that. All righty.
gather spirit and Holy Spirit. This is, it's the position of a secretary here has kind of morphed over the time. When I first came, Debbie was secretary here the first 15 years we were here, but her hands can't do it anymore. So, you know, they have a real demand. You have to be there in the office to answer phone calls. You have to be there. And then when she left, they had a nice one come in. It's like, if I just get people here to do what I need to do, that's all I need. Like, Bert would come in the evenings or early morning, you know, really early. But you could get work done. And it's like, this is the only getting the work done. That's really what I need. You know, answering the phone anymore is not a big deal because of the cell phone, internet,
sure,
all that stuff. So I don't ever hear anybody talk about answering the phone anymore. And whenever phone calls come in, just aware if they have not respond. Even with missionaries, sometimes I don't want to respond because I can't bring that woman in with the ministry kind of thing. It's just like, I know I'll never take this person on. I'm not really interested. But I'll normally call them back. So I just think it's the right thing to do. So,
as a missionary, I appreciate that.
So it's not like I, you know, there's nobody here to answer the phone again, so that we would know. You know, why don't we call them back? So that's fine. Okay, so as far as the secretary position, you know, she can come in.
And if we push comes to shove,
would it be, in fact, her name already came up, her issue is she's, I guess she has dyslexia pretty badly, so she spells things backward, puts her name backward. I didn't either, but we were meeting with that guy, we would, unless we take them to go over technical stuff, we're making sure that the lines are going to proper places where they can come, and of course not tax calls. So, anyway, that was brought up, and they asked me, would that possibly be someone that would be willing to do that? So I made sure you're willing. But it says here, it was, I guess you call it severe dyslexia. So, if no one else does, that would still be a possibility. I just don't want to put her in that position.
Sure.
It's like another organization, they're always going to have very critical, and that's kind of, you know, sometimes a pattern or something. Unless every little misspelling you're going to write in the notes, they misspell what you can do. That kind of stuff is not mine. So I don't want to put her in that position.
I think it'd be helpful, Ms. Jane. I know she must be careful.
I don't even think it would necessarily even involve that much. I mean, the kind of stuff that Abby Brooke does now works pretty good at it. You know, she may work more than 50 hours a week at most. So I would be satisfied with that. Just a long way of getting stuff done I need.
Yes.
With the typing, that's the big thing.
Pastor, will you pray about it? Just curious, what about the junior position?
Well, that's another issue.
What I'm
planning on doing is after the Sunday night service, just get before me. Because I don't want to mention anything right now because you are on vacation, it's going to be rough.
Yes, sir.
But on Sunday night, right after the service, just talk to you guys. Charles wants this, but